Good morning, anchor. Or Ohayou gozaimasu. We do that a lot in Japan. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24 says, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, justice, and righteousness in the earth, for in these I delight." Did you catch that? Let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me. Let's pray really fast. Father, thank you so much for this glorious morning that you have blessed us with. We are so excited to gather here today in your name to praise you, worship you, and fall more in love with you. I pray for every single person gathered here that you would anoint their ears to hear from you, that they would have tender hearts, soft like the clay in the sculptor's hand. Please mold us, make us more like you. We need you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if my husband Micah and I haven't had the pleasure of meeting you again, I am Alicia, my husband is Micah, and for the past 9 months, we have been living in Okinawa, Japan as missionaries there. And so every single day, we have the opportunity to share with people who have never heard the name Jesus before. Can you imagine that? Never hearing the name above all names. And so I want you to take an introspective turn with me and look at your own life for a moment. If you had never heard of Jesus before, would you be able to still live your life today exactly as it is? Or if someone else who had never heard of Jesus before, could they step into your shoes today and comfortably live your life? Or is there fruit, is there evidence all throughout your life that you know and you wait upon and you serve and you love Jesus? Well, as you ruminate upon those questions, I want to tell you about Andrew. Andrew is actually not from Okinawa, but Micah and I met him 2 days ago. And we weren't purposing to go out evangelizing this time. This was supposed to be a 30-second trip along Sunset Cliffs Boulevard just to take a picture, and then we were going to turn and get back into the car. But that 30 seconds suddenly turned into an hour and a half conversation with Andrew. And it started to unfold almost like a counseling appointment, where he just started unleashing all of his doubt and confusion and concerns and his questions, his purposelessness. He has a job that lets him be flexible. He can live almost anywhere that he wants. He gets to travel internationally, and yet that wasn't satisfying to him. He was thinking about making a move now to Hawaii because he thought maybe chasing big waves, that's where I'll find purpose. And so he was questioning, he was looking, he wanted answers. And we were sharing with him about Jesus. And he even admitted, "I am blind, but Micah, I think you have the truth." And as you can probably guess, Micah was sharing with him the truth about Jesus. But as we were sharing, he all of a sudden interrupted and he said, "I've met your Christian God once." And naturally, our ears perked up, and he started to unfold this story, and he told us that he had a dream once. And in this dream, it was completely real, as if it was unfolding right here before him. And Jesus was standing before him, and Jesus said to him, "If you devote your life to me, I will give you the true direction that you seek." And we leaned in. What is the, you know, how will this resolve? And he said, "I told him no. I will not follow him because I will live my life how I want to." And now sitting before us, this was 2 years ago he had this dream. And as we talked about repentance and the God of second chances, and you can at any point turn back to the Lord and follow him with all your heart, he continued to say no. And he is a product of confusion, of deception, of purposelessness. He had no peace. And these were all things that he was expressing to us. He wanted answers. He was confused. He wanted the truth, but he was unwilling to follow Jesus. He was unwilling to walk through the one and only door that would lead to the one and only way to salvation, to purpose, to joy. You see, he was missing Jesus. And it's all about Jesus. This whole entire next year, 2013, is about Jesus. If you miss Jesus this next year, you've missed it all. If you miss Jesus today, you missed the whole point of being here today. Jesus is not supposed to be just the fringes. He's not supposed to be just something we tuck in neatly on Sunday mornings or maybe a morning quiet time. No, Jesus is the core. He is central. It's all about Jesus. And so in Okinawa, we've entered a very interesting season. Before, it seemed more like we were going out purposing to find people to evangelize to. So we'd be praying everywhere we went, who do you want us to talk to? Well, in Okinawa, lately it seemed like God has just been continuously bringing people to us nonstop. So everywhere we go, we joke we can't get anything done because all of a sudden there's someone there who comes to us wanting to know about Jesus. So this is Mickey. I know that it's a small picture, but this is the picture that she had with her in her purse. We met at a grocery store. She approached Micah and I, and thankfully she could speak very good English, and she came right up to us because she said that she knew that we knew Jesus, and she wanted to know him. She wanted to have more of him in her life, and so she wants to meet with us. So she came right up in a grocery store. She gave me this picture. She wrote all of her contact information on the back so that we can get in contact with her as soon as we get back to start taking her out to lunch on a regular basis. From this grocery store, I walked across the street to a coffee shop where I was supposed to be meeting with one teen who I was told was suicidal and depressed. When I walked into the coffee shop, I was surprised not to see just one teenager, but there were four sitting there, and they all had a notebook out and paper, and they were sitting ready for me with a pencil. And I didn't even know what I was supposed to do, what we were going to say, what the whole point of the meeting was, and so I actually asked them, are you expecting a Bible study right now, or are we going to just be talking? And so I was just praying, God, what do you want me to tell them? And we opened up Ephesians, and we started to go just straight into the Word and looking at Jesus and looking at our identities in Jesus. And by the end of a 2.5-hour conversation with them, all four of them committed their lives to the Lord. We are now each going through the book of John. They are picking a Bible verse every day, writing out a reflection, and we're sending it to one another. We're right now on John 17. The next day, we were going out to just a quick little bite to eat in between ministry things that we had going on. And that, again, quick little bite to eat turned into a 4-hour lunch when we ordered our meal here. And by the time we got to paying for it, the girl behind the counter was saying to Micah and I, again in perfect English, praise the Lord, you are showing me love. I've never experienced this. What is this? And we just got to tell her, it's Jesus. It's all about Jesus. She then continued on to tell us that earlier that day, she had actually gotten off work 4 hours earlier. But she described that there was something in her stomach that told her she wasn't supposed to go home yet. So she stayed. She thought it was for the free lunch that her employer gave her. Nope. She realized that once she met us that, oh, it's because you guys know Jesus. That's why I'm supposed to stay, so that I can get connected with God. She was reading the Bible for the first time and understanding it. She was writing down Bible verses. She was crying. She opened up her heart, and God was ministering to it. We met with her again, and even as we were driving to the airport, she called us to say, thank you so much, because my life is changing because of Jesus. You see, I don't tell you these testimonies to puff myself up or to tell you the things that God is doing in my life. I'm telling you this because it's all about Jesus. And these took place at a grocery store, at a coffee shop, and at a little fast food restaurant. It's all about Jesus in every single detail of our lives. And each one of these people, they needed Jesus. Whether you are an 80-year-old woman, whether you are a suicidal, depressed teen, whether you are a mother who is working and has a ransacked past, every single person needs Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And so Micah is going to come up and expand on just that, that it is all about Jesus. If we miss out on that, we miss out on it all. And we don't want a single one of us to miss out on Jesus to the smallest detail. So today, it could be a commitment for you. It might just be diving in deeper. But whatever it is in your faith, God today wants to take you to a deeper level of knowing him in a dynamic, experiential, exciting, transforming relationship. And I hope we each get to experience that deeper today. Thank you so much for your amazing support, Inger. We are so excited to be sharing the gospel, to be taking it to the front lines, partnered with you in Okinawa. Thank you for having us here.
Some of the best sermons I've ever heard are my wife just preaching to me. And sometimes you get down, I'm just pull up a chair and I go front row. I'm like, baby, it's time. Just preach to me. I love my wife and I love Jesus. And you're right, it is all about Jesus. Happy New Year. Konnichiwa. Ohayo gozaimasu. That was pretty weak. In Japanese, in Japan, when you say Ohayo gozaimasu, I don't know if just people are excited about the morning or what, but that means good morning. And if you say that to an absolute stranger, they're going to say it back to you with enthusiasm. So let's try it again. I want you to pretend that you're Japanese people right now, okay? Ohayo gozaimasu. Oh, you guys are alive. I love being here with you. Just going to start the year off with the best thing that we possibly could. Right here in the Word. So open your Bibles up to Acts chapter 1. Hey, how old are you guys on the front row? How old are you? 10, how old are you? 9, how about you? 10? 10? You get a pass. How about you? Huh? 12. 10. You guys don't have a very big age range in this church. That's what I like about you guys. You know, these guys are 10. The oldest person I've met in here, I think, is like 40 or something. So, wow. You guys are looking good. A young, youthful church. So let's read this in the book of Acts, okay? Join me in verse 4. I'm going to read from verse 4 to verse 8, so please read along with me. Verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to go, not to depart to Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said to them, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has put into his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of this earth." Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we are your chosen people and you chose us to start the year off right, to start it off in your word, to know you as a person. And Father, I pray today that you would speak today, that you would speak through me, that you'd anoint my lips and that you'd anoint every single ear in here and that we would all hear from you. I pray that you would change us. Pray that you would do your work through us in this new year. And Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Would you guys mind standing up with me real quick? We're talking about knowing Jesus. Are you guys excited about knowing Jesus? That's good. So this is a normal drill that we'll consistently do. But since we know Jesus, Jesus is cool with high fives. Tell all your friends. So on the count of three, we're going to give everyone a high five and just tell them you're glad they know Jesus. On three. One, two, three. Glad you know Jesus. Glad you know Jesus. And you may be seated. So we got out to Okinawa, and I got really excited because I got asked to speak at this men's breakfast. And it was mostly a group of Marines, and I got really excited because I'm like, these guys are gnarly. You know, these are the best. They're the Marines. Wow. And then I decided, what am I going to talk to them about? And I couldn't get off my favorite subject. You know what it is, right? It's evangelism. And I just started talking to them about sharing their faith. And I was so excited. And I thought they were excited. And I'm like, these guys are in. Every one of them. The whole military is going to get saved after these guys get out of here. And I invited them. I said, tonight, we're going to go out in full force. We're going to go and we're going to parachute in to Mihama Village. This is the most exciting area. There's all kinds of people, shops, restaurants, bars. and we're going to go tell people about Jesus. And I got so excited, and I showed up, and I was like, wow, how many of these guys are coming in full force? We're going to deploy these guys. We're going to go out one by one. I'm going to, okay, let's go talk to that guy and that guy and that guy. And I'm sitting here, and I'm waiting. I'm like, where are these guys at? These guys are in the military. They're never late. Where are they at? I thought there was going to be dozens of these guys showing up. And I got to tell you, the turnout didn't exactly give me a lot of encouragement. Only one guy showed up. Only one. I was like, what happened? Are they not as excited about evangelizing? And I got to tell you, I got kind of mad. I was mad for 6 days straight, but don't worry, because on the seventh day I rested. I took a Sabbath. But I was angry. And then I took my anger and took my anger management, and I went to the great physician, and he gave me a prescription. He said, son, you need more prayer. So I've been taking my prayer capsules, and I'm doing a lot better with the anger. But here's what happened. I thought, okay, well, these guys, they weren't that excited. But I get to, we have a ministry. It's called Saturday Night Lights. Some of you guys know about it. And I'm going to tell all the Saturday Night Lights people about evangelizing. And we're all going to go out and we're going to go evangelizing, because this is the best thing that you get to do with your life. If you know God, it's so exciting to go tell other people about him. So I hyped it up for one whole month. It's like, guys, at the end of the month, we're all going to go out in full force. We're going to go out and we're going to give them. We're going to give them Jesus. We're going to give them heaven. Guess how many people showed up? Multiplication. We had three people show up. Three people show up. And I was like, God, where are all these people? Doesn't anyone want to go evangelizing? And I thought about that for a little while longer, and God gave me more medication, just more prayer, more prayer. And God gave me a great revelation. And this revelation is, you got to love God. Got to love God. And I think what I started to push on people is I started pushing the Great Commission, which we know what that is. It's to go. But I put the Great Commission before the Great Commandment. You know what the Great Commandment is? It's to love. So we can wrap the Great Commission up in one word, it's go. And the Great Commandment in one word is to love. I was teaching this to the kids, and we acted it out so we could remember it. The Great Commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. You guys all pretend that you're young kids right now and you get to act this out. It's okay. Try it out with me. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's right. You guys are strong today. You got to have the Great Commandment before the Great Commission. Got to know Jesus before you go out and make him known. And what I realized is a lot of these people, I began talking to them later. One guy, a theologian, an absolute theologian, he knew the genealogy from Abraham all the way down to Jesus. Every single person, every single link, he was teaching inductively through the whole book of Genesis. And he came up to me and he said, man, I've got these problems. And he told me some of his deep struggles. And I began asking him just a couple of questions. And I said, man, do you know Jesus? Do you actually meet with Jesus? That was the problem. He knew all this information about Jesus, but he didn't actually know Jesus. He hadn't fallen in love with Jesus. Because when you fall in love with somebody, it's not hard to talk about them, right? You should have seen me after I fell in love with Alicia. That happened on the first day, and I started telling everybody about her. It wasn't hard for me to tell people about her. In fact, I enjoyed it. That was the first time I ever posted anything on Facebook. I wanted everyone to know because I had actually met her. I had a conversation with her. And after you have a conversation and you know Jesus, that's when it's easy and exciting to make him known. So the first part in verse A is the Great Commandment before the Great Commission. Part A, the Great Commandment before the Great Commission. You want to meet with God. This is part B. You want to meet with God in prayer. And part C is you want to meet with God in the scriptures. Every morning when I go and I meet with God, I have this little prayer post. And we have a sweet little place. Thank you guys for praying for us for so long. 11 months with no place, and then God provided the sweetest little place. We're right on the park, and I can see from my window out at this little mountaintop, and I go and I meet with God every single morning. And I don't just go up there and walk around and pace back and forth. I go up there actually intending to meet with God in prayer. I'm going to meet with him. He's a person. I want to know him. I want to know him, and then I'll make him known. So I go up there and I meet with him in prayer. Do you have a prayer post? Do you have a place that you get to go every single day and meet with God? So exciting to meet with God. Then as you continue to meet with him, you just start falling more and more and more in love with him. And then you can't stop telling people about him. And then I don't have to con people into doing the Great Commission. You're just so in love with God that you can't help but go into a coffee shop. You can't help but go into the 7-Eleven and just tell somebody about Jesus. It's so much fun. We got to preach at a little camp. And how this all worked out, it was just God who opened up these doors for us. And we got to go to this camp, and it was a Christian camp. But these kids, they all go to a Christian school, and most of them are not Christians. Their Okinawa families send them to this school so they can learn English. And that's the main reason they go. So they hear about God, and they hear about Jesus through the day, but none of them really have that solid relationship. So we got to be guest speakers at this camp. And we got to stay with the campers and actually be camp counselors. So much fun, these kids. They're about your all's age, maybe a little bit older. And these kids, at the end of it, I had 8 campers that were in my little tent. And at the end, beginning, they had seven of them were not Christians. At the end of it, we had all but one gave their lives to the Lord. And one guy, he's running around at the end, and he's just like, I get it. I was like, what do you get? He's like, I get Jesus. I was like, what happened? He's like, I got saved. I was like, when did you get saved? He's like, at the last meeting. I was like, wow. I said, what does it feel like? He said, I can't explain it. It feels like I'm getting a hug from all over. And I look at him, and I was like, that's awesome. Is that awesome? This kid, he's 13 years old. He feels like he's getting a hug from all over. He's experiencing God. He actually met Jesus. I said, well, what are you going to do when you go home? He said, I'm going to tell my parents about Jesus. I said, well, that's awesome. What are you going to do when you meet your friends? He said, I'm going to tell my friends about Jesus. Who are you going to tell about Jesus? You guys going to tell your friends about Jesus? If I was your friend, would you tell me about Jesus? I wish I was your friend when I was your age. You could have told me about Jesus when I was only 10. That would have been awesome. Have you guys heard of John Hancock? What's he popular for? First man to sign the Declaration of Independence. And I've tried to mimic his signature by making these big, extravagant signatures everywhere. I love his signature. This man, most of his early adult life, he was not saved. And he had a friend, his name was John Whitmore, who was a preacher. And this guy was going to be preaching at the town square, and he said, you know, I really respect this guy, but he wasn't saved, so I'm just going to go and listen to see what this man has to say. Well, his preacher friend was speaking about John chapter 10, verse 9. And John chapter 10, verse 9, it's Jesus speaking, and he says, I am the door. Anyone who enters by me will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Well, John Hancock left that meeting, and he said, boy, I really respected that guy before, but what kind of nonsense was he talking about? It's like he's describing a man as a door, and he said, God who's supposed to be God is a door? What? And so he gets all the way home, and he gets out his keys, and he's fumbling around in the door and trying to get the key to go in the door, and finally the key goes into the door, and he turns it, and he walks in. And he looks right at his family and he says, I can see. They look at him and say, of course you can see. You just came out of the pitch black dark and now you're in the light. Of course you can see. He said, no, I get it. I understand what that preacher was talking about. He said, the key, you have to put the key in the door. He said, the key is faith. And I got to put my faith in the door. And when I do, I'm saved. And from that very point, he got on his knees and received Jesus as his Savior. Have you guys all put the key? Have you put your key? Have you put it in the door? Sometimes we're trying to get that key and just put it all the way in. Just meet with Jesus every single morning. The second part is we want to wait on Jesus. Now, I want to say this again. Wait on Jesus. Now I saw, when I said that word wait, there was an overwhelming sense of excitement that swept through this Did it sweep through the congregation back there? It did over here. Let me try it again. Wait. Now, I've never enjoyed people telling me to wait. Wait. But this is what Jesus said. Verse 4, Acts chapter 1. He said, he commanded them not to depart, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Now, let's find a biblical example of waiting. Turn with me real quick to Luke chapter 11, verse 9. We're going to find a biblical example of waiting, and then I'm going to encourage you guys to wait on Jesus all your life, because this is really fun. So here we are. Say konnichiwa if you're in Luke chapter 11, verse 9. Konnichiwa. All right. Here we are in verse 9. I'm going to read it to you. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who seeks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Did you guys catch that? This is a biblical example of waiting, asking, seeking, knocking. It says, if a son asks for a bread from his father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for bread, if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Of course not. This son, by the way, he's obviously Japanese. He's eating fish and bread and eggs for breakfast here. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask of him? This is biblical waiting. Part A is asking, seeking, and knocking. Part B is it's active, it's not passive. And part C, it's an eager expectation. This is biblical waiting. Everywhere you go, you're just asking and seeking and knocking. God, is it this person you want me to talk to? God, is it this friend that you want me to talk to? I'm always asking God those three questions. What do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? Every single person, if I'm in a 7-Eleven buying a water, I'm going to ask God what he wants me to say to this person here. Thanks for the water. Do you happen to have any living water, sir? I asked a guy that the other day, just walking down to the surf. He said, wow, the waves look good. I was like, yeah. Have you seen any living water lately? He said, living water? I think that's all living water. I said, no, that's not living water. There's only one source of living water. He says, oh, I know what you're talking about. So what am I talking about? He said, Jesus. You got it, buddy. Every single person that you talk to is an opportunity for you to witness. So you're asking, you're seeking, you're knocking. I was walking down through Mahama Village, my favorite place to go evangelizing again, and I was talking to a couple people, and my conversations just weren't going that good that day. And, you know, you have those days, so you just keep going, and I keep asking God, is it these people, and is it these people? And there were all these servicemen, and they had just got back from deployment. They were having a volleyball game. They were having a little booze, and they were just having a good time. And I walked up, and I tried to talk to a couple of them. Just didn't work out. They didn't want to have anything to do with me that day. So I kept going. I said, God, is there anything else you want me to do? Is it this guy over here? Is it this guy? And I felt God tell me, I want you to go back. Like, uh-oh, this is getting exciting. I'm going to go back and talk to all these guys who don't want to talk to me. Oh, wow, here we go, God. So I turned around and I started walking right to them. At the same time that I'm walking back to them, they huddle up and they get all the guys from the volleyball court and they come over and they said, it's time to eat. So they all came in and they were having this big barbecue, and I was like, okay, God, what are we going to do here? this isn't me anymore. It's we, okay? This is you, God. You got to take over. So I walked right up to him and I said, excuse me, guys. They all looked at me and I was like, now what are we going to say, God? I said, I would like to pray for your meal. I'm a missionary. I'm all the way from Hawaii. And if you don't mind, I'm just thank God that you all are back here from deployment. I'd like to say a blessing over your meal. Would that be okay? They look at me and they're like, how long is this going to take? I was like, not more than 10 seconds. I said a blessing over their meal. I thank God that they all came back and I said, amen. As soon as I said amen, two guys came up and started talking to me. We had a 30-minute conversation and it was just like that. It was just asking, seeking, knocking, and I'm knock, knock, knocking on the door every single morning when I go and meet with God. Would you guys get up early and meet with God? You know how exciting it is to meet with God, to know him as a person? And I got to tell those two service members about Jesus, and they had heard his name, but they didn't know anything about him as a person. As a person, I wasn't trying to download more information. I said, you meet this person, not about loading up your head with information. This will bring transformation to your entire being. Your life will change radically. You'll have peace that you could never find anywhere else. This is Jesus. He's a person. So excited to tell somebody about Jesus. From my prayer post, I was meeting with God every morning. God tells me to come down and go for a run. Now, Alicia was right. Everywhere we're going now, we're always meeting people, and this is why I'm not a very good runner, because God's always telling me to stop and talk to somebody, so I can't even make it more than a mile without falling over. And I made it about a quarter mile, and I see this guy. He's over on the pull-up bar. We live by this park, beautiful park, and I'm running around, and I see him, and I said, okay, God, what do you want to say? Is it this guy? And I felt that it was, so I just walked right up to him. I said, hey, man, how you doing? He said, I'm good in perfect English. I said, where are you from? He said, I grew up here in Okinawa. I was like, really? So what are you doing now? He said, I'm just exercising. I exercise a lot because I'm retired. I'm 65 years old. I said, well, where'd you learn how to speak such good English? He said, I worked for the military for 40 years of my life. I said, wow. So while you were working for the military, you talked to all these people in English. Did anyone tell you about Jesus? I just asked him. He said, a couple people, I mean, they study, and I heard his name. I said, well, do you know him? Have you ever heard of anyone who knows him? And I just began telling him how God brought us all the way out to Okinawa, Japan, sends a pastor to the airport to pick us up, and he thought my stories were quite intriguing. I said, do you want to meet Jesus? He said, well, I'd be open to it. I said, you meet me back here on Thursday morning. I'm going to bring you a Bible, and I'll introduce you to the God of this Bible. Will you be there? He was there. Gave him the word, gave him a challenge. This brother has been reading through the book of John every single day. I just challenged him. 21-day challenge. This is a great challenge. You ever meet anyone who just wants to meet Jesus and know Jesus? 21-day challenge. One chapter a day through the book of John. I said, pick one verse, just one, every single day. Write it at the top of the page and write a little reflection. Just ask God to speak to you, and he will. I'm going to meet with him. His name's Miyasoto. Pray for Miyasoto to meet Jesus. I'm going to meet with him as soon as we get back and see how his meetings have been going. We're just meeting Jesus. As I'm waiting, I'm asking God everything. God, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? Is it this person? Is it that person? When we got out there, we need a car. We need a car. I told you I don't like running very far, and everything's very spread out. And I said, well, we need a car. Should we go and buy a car? Or what should we do, God? And I just felt, just be patient. Just be patient. I went to a men's meeting, and I got to talk to a couple of guys, and we were talking, and one guy said, hey, I want some counsel, and I want some accountability. And he said, can you meet me at the Starbucks? And I said, well, I can probably meet you there, but I have to arrange a ride and everything. And I see this other guy, and he comes up, and he starts standing there. And I said, well, maybe he wants to meet too. So I kind of open it up, and he doesn't say anything. So I said, well, look, we can meet there. Let me make sure I can get a ride and everything. And he said, okay, well, why don't you just call me tomorrow? I said, good deal. And this guy said, is there anything I can do to help you? Do you want to join us or anything? And he said, no, I heard that you said you don't have a car. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to give you my car. I said, could you say that again for me? He said, I want to give you my car. This man, he's getting deployed. He went all the way to Alaska, and he just gave me his car. Now I have a local Japanese car. It's so cool. We sit, and our shoulders, Alicia and I's shoulders, touch. It's so tiny. It's amazing. Everything in Japan is very small and tight, and I've gotten used to that. We're just so much closer now. Even our apartment, it's so... Don't be scared. There's plenty of room for you guys. But in the shower, when I shower, I can actually reach out of the shower into the living room, and I can cook an egg right in the kitchen, just like that. It's no problem to me. And it saves so much time when you're in a hurry because you got to go tell people about Jesus. And everything's just tight, and I'm starting to like it. It's very fun. But please, don't be discouraged. There's plenty of room. There's families of eight that live in a place our size. What is it? It's 12 by 20? 12 by 20. 12 by, you can just imagine 12 by, plenty of room for everybody here, don't worry. The third part is, and this is where it gets fun. We get to serve Jesus. Join me in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of this earth. We get to be witnesses. We will receive power. And the first part, the power is for a purpose. The power is for a purpose. If you look back up in verse 6, you'll see that they're actually asking. Have you ever been on a long road trip with a kid? And in the back seat, they're always, how much further? How much longer? I asked my parents that one time over 150 times on the way from Missouri to Colorado on a family vacation. They counted. They made me pay for it later. But God doesn't get annoyed with us. You can ask him and ask him and keep asking him and keep seeking him. And God, is it this person? What do you want me to say to this person, this friend of mine? I've been wanting to talk to him. Is now the time? And look what they say in verse 6. His apostles, they say, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time? They're basically saying, hey, are we there yet? Is this the time? How much further? How much longer? He says, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Got to meet with Jesus. We meet with Jesus and we wait on Jesus. And when we meet with Jesus, we get to know Jesus and we get to know him as a person. And then when we're waiting on him, we're just waiting for his perfect timing. God, is now the time? Are we there yet? Is this person ready for you to go, for me to go say something? What would you like for me to say to them? And then we get to serve Jesus. And serving Jesus, it all happens out of love. It's not serving because I have to. It's serving because I get to. I love serving Jesus. I love the fact that God called me to be a missionary, to drop all my plans and all my business and just follow him to the ends of the earth and how he would bring us to Japan. Konnichiwa. It makes no sense to me. I can't understand it, but I just love it. And how he would pick me, the chief sinner of them all, and he turned my life to the light. And I can't wait to go and tell people about him. Every day we wake up, God, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? Will you please, God, will you just do your work through me? When you meet with Jesus, you ask him these things, he will. He'll answer you. And as you're walking down the street, it's exciting today. 2013 is going to be the most exciting year of your life. You guys are going to go to school and tell people about Jesus. Or if you're homeschooled, just go knock on the neighbor's door. Tell them about Jesus. Tell everybody about Jesus. So the power is for a purpose. And you want to serve Jesus with continual expanding impact. That's part B. Continual expanding impact. And part C, the service flows from knowing and waiting. The service flows from knowing and waiting. I was again my favorite place, Mihama Village. When you guys come out and stay in our 10 by 20 little apartment, I'm going to take you guys all out to Mihama Village, and we're just going to go and talk to people about Jesus. But one night, I was out there, and I said, you know, what does God want to do? And I started getting excited, and I'm just walking around, and I couldn't find a single person to talk to me, not even one. And I got a little discouraged, so I sat down, and I began to pray, and I said, God, will you just bring me one person? I just want one person to talk to today. And Alicia, she went over to Starbucks, and she was going to write a blog, and I said, well, I'll probably be back in a couple hours, you know, if my conversations are going good. And about 45 minutes later, I said, I don't think I'm going to even make it for a whole hour. So I start stumbling back to Starbucks and kind of bummed. And I see why there was no one to talk to in the whole village, because when I opened that Starbucks door, they were all crowded around Alicia. Four Japanese people were just sitting, two girls and two guys, and they're just sitting there, and she is telling them the gospel. She's got her Bible open, her computer open. She's showing them pictures, and I was a little bit jealous. She gets to talk to all the people. God, what about me? So I went and I cornered these two guys, and I start talking, and I knew one of them because he worked at Starbucks. Starbucks, there's something about the place. I think it's anointed. I've been talking to the management, and I said, you know, that queen that you have there on the cup, we've got to change that. We've got to put a king, my king, the king of kings. We've got to put him on the cup. Everyone in Starbucks is getting saved. And I walk over and I talk to these guys, and the one guy, he worked there, and I said, well, who's this? He said, oh, this is my friend. They both speak English. And I start telling them about Jesus, and I said, look, do you guys want to come meet Jesus? And I'll bring you guys Bibles. I got Japanese, I got English Bibles. I'll bring them to you. And why don't you guys come on Saturday Night Lights? Why don't you come to our ministry, Saturday Night Lights, and it'll be amazing. And I'll actually introduce you to Jesus, and I'll introduce you to other people who know Jesus. And they said, okay, well, you know, the guy who works there said, I got to work, probably not going to work out. But his friend said, well, I'm interested. I might come. The Japanese people are very cordial, very nice. They always tell you they're going to come, and they never show up. They do it to me all the time. And so I didn't, you know, really take this guy too serious. And I said, oh, okay, well, hope to see you again soon. And that was that. Saturday night, I'm sitting out there, and we're getting ready to start. And I see somebody in the parking lot. And I look out, and there's a group, and they're congregated in the parking lot, and they're just kind of huddled up. And I said, well, I'm going to walk out there and see who it is. I walk out there. It's the guy. And he says, Micah, Micah, can I come? Oh, of course you can come. He said, I brought a friend. These are your friends? Bring them in. Well, I guess this guy's a ladies' man. He had three ladies that he brought with him. I said, I don't know how I feel about that, but if you're bringing them to church, okay, well, we'll just deal with that later. Well, they all came in. We told them all about Jesus. We gave each of them a Japanese and English Bible. They begin reading it. Alicia sits with our translator, and you know, here's what happens. If you meet my wife, you're going to meet Jesus very quickly. And about an hour later, she answered all their questions through the translator. Two of them didn't speak any English whatsoever, and they all gave their lives, committed their lives to Christ right there. Just asking and seeking and knocking, asking and seeking and knocking. And you know what I found after talking to so many people? Everyone is in this fear, this bondage. They're fearing death. What's going to happen when I die? Hebrews 2:15 tells us that every single person that doesn't know Jesus, this is the bondage that they're in. And unless you know Jesus, nothing matters. And if you know Jesus, everything matters, because there's purpose. There's purpose in everything when we know God, when we love God, and he gets to work right through us. Telling people that they get to be released of that bondage, that fear of death, it's the most exciting thing. And to see these Japanese people be released of the bondage, be released of the mindsets that they've had and the ancestor worship, I look at these people and it breaks my heart, and I'm like, God, thank you. You allowed us to go out and be your spokespeople, your mouthpiece. We get to tell people the truth. We get to free people from this bondage that they've been in. And there's nothing more exciting that I'd rather give my life to. And I got to thank each and every one of you because you guys help make it possible for us to be over there. Your prayers, your support, you make it possible for us to go over there and do what we do. And there's nothing more in my life that I would rather do than go and bring the good news to people who have never heard it before. 2013, this is going to be the most exciting year of your life if you just keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. If you meet with Jesus every single day, you want to meet with him in the morning. That's part of our application. Part A is you want to meet with Jesus in the morning. All the surfers, they love to do this. They love to go hang 10. That's when you hang your 10 toes over the edge of the surfboard. But us as Christians, why don't we hang 10? Just hang for 10 minutes with God before we do anything else every morning. Just hang for 10 minutes. You don't have to stop at 10 minutes. You could do it for 10 hours. But you wake up and the very first thing that you do is you just meet with Jesus. Just sit still and say, God, what do you want me to know today? God, will you do your work through me? Will you reach somebody through me today? You just meet with God for 10 minutes every single morning. Transform your day. When you read the Bible, you don't just read over these words like the man who's a theologian who knew the genealogy, but he didn't know Jesus. After I gave him the challenge to just march through the book of John, which he said was very elementary, he began doing it. And I love this, that the book of John is for the brand new believers and it's for the old time theologians. And when you read the book of John, you meet Jesus. And now this man who is a theologian, who is struggling with all of these very personal problems, he has been meeting with Jesus every single morning. He has been set free. And that's what Jesus does. He sets the captives free. Part B for our application is you want to actively wait on Jesus throughout the day. Actively. It's not passive. It's active. And that's what's so fun. Because I sit still very well for about 1.5 minutes. And then I like to move. And this is so exciting. It's active every day. Everywhere you go. God, I'm just asking, I'm seeking, and I'm knocking. And every single person that I meet, I'm just going to knock on that door to see if God's working. And I love asking people this question. It's very direct, and I just walk right up to them and say, excuse me, is God doing anything in your life today? It's a showstopper. They're going to look at you, and they are going to tell you that you are nuts. Or they're going to tell you what God's doing. It's going to be a great opportunity for you to tell them about Jesus. See in our application is find a need and fill it. Find a need and fill it. If you forget everything else I said, just remember this. Just know Jesus. It's about meeting him as a person. And when we know him as a person, then it's fun and exciting to wait on him. And no longer when somebody tells you to wait, you don't have to have your eyebrows crossed like, I don't like that. No, you can get excited because waiting is active, asking and seeking and knocking. And after we're waiting on God, it is my pleasure to serve God. After I've got the great commandment to love the Lord, my God, with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength, then it's no problem to go and bring the gospel to the whole world. And we want to, I think it was a recycling company, did they start this? They said, think globally and act locally. It's like, those people have got to be saved. I'm positive. They're evangelists and they're recycling. Look at them. They said, think globally but act locally. Who are you going to reach this week? Who are you going to reach out to this week? There's people that God has put within your reach that you can reach with the love of Christ. You find a need and fill it. You ask, Rick, how can I serve at the church? You ask your neighbors, is there anything I can do to help you? You look around you and you'll see needs. And when you start serving, you'll just see ministry opportunities spring forth from that. And I promise that if you meet with Jesus every single day and you just ask him to do his work through you, this 2013 will be the most exciting year of your life. And you guys all have an open invitation to a 10
by 20-foot apartment. I'll cook you eggs, and we'll go out and witness, tell people about Jesus.